on Triple J.
Hello there, podcaster. You cast the line out for a pod and you reeled this big one in.
It's a big fella. It's almost a dad-sized pod. It's a dad pod.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense according to anything.
Doesn't matter. I just wanted to say the term dad pod.
Yeah,
it's when podcasts let themselves go a bit, but are still pretty sexy.
That's Lewis. My name is Veronica. And another name that everybody's been saying is Peking Duck. Because we got brand new Peking Duck music and Peking Duck stories, which is often the best bit.
I honestly think they could stop releasing songs and just start releasing stories about their life. Yeah. And they would sell just as well. And they would go just as off at festivals. People would be like, tell the one about the time you escaped from an island on horseback. And I'll be like, all right, here's a remix. Boom, horseback story.
So that is one of the stories that you'll hear in the podcast very soon.
Yeah, you're also going to hear from Hodor from Game of Thrones. He's back in the country doing his Rave of Thrones tours. But a lot of stuff this week was about bingo. Not because we particularly endorse the game of bingo, although if you and your nan love to play it, that's great. But Triple J Bingo, Triple J Bingo Week, or as Veronica likes to call it,
it's Bingo Week.
It's Bingo Week. leave it like that.
I don't know what's wrong with my mouth sometimes.
Sometimes
it's
just
lazy.
Yeah.
I have a very lazy mouth, which is a bad quality for someone who works in radio.
But it was Bingo Weege, and one of the things on the bingo board while people were listening for certain things to happen across the week was one thing that I thought would never happen, and that was that I would eat custard. But for some reason, now twice in 2016, I was tricked into it.
But let's cast our mind back now to one of the most wonderful events that's ever happened. The Glenda gaggle.
Oh, Glenda. And Veronica, you're all jazzed.
I am. Hey, can I tell you a story? Just a quick yarn for you on a Friday afternoon. 10 years ago, two people met. They were strangers. They didn't know one another at all. One of them was called Glenda. She saw another woman at work and she noticed on her name badge, her name was also Glenda. They struck up conversation about their names both being Glenda, and then one of the Glendas did a ring around to all the local Glendas she knew. They then created a thing they call the Glenda Gaggle. The Glenda Gaggle now is in its 10th year. It's held in Albany in Western Australia, and it is just a wonderful night of Glendas coming together. And we've got the original Glenda on the line with us right now. Hello, how you going, Glenda?
Oh, hello, Veronica. How are you?
Really good, but not as good as you. You've got your massive occasion happening this weekend. Tell us, what's the best thing about getting so many Glendas together?
Well, the best thing about it is the friendship that's formed. It's just such a special thing and it's such a fun evening, everyone being called Glenda. It's hilarious.
It's such an honour to be talking to the OG Glenda, Glenda. But what would you? Is there any commonality that you found between all the Glendas apart from the names?
Well, you get delving into the middle name and there's a lot of called Glenda Lee or Glenda Ann or Glenda Rose.
I mean, I guess I thought I was asking more in terms of a personality, but we can stick with the names too.
Well, the personality, if you could have 30 girls in a room and we all get on, then that's a pretty good thing.
That's really, and like everyone comes from like different parts of Australia, Perth, Bunbury, Busselton, Esperance, Melbourne, Sydney, Tasmania, New Zealand.
That's it.
Has there ever been a Glenda that's come along though and you didn't really like them, but they had to be included because they're a Glenda?
No, not at all. Mm. You're quite correct though, Veronica. They travel from everywhere.
Yeah, well, it seems like every Glenda's a good Glenda as far as you're concerned, Glenda.
I think it is. It's just a Glenda thing.
So what happens when one Glenda walks in and one person says, hey, Glenda, does everyone look around and giggle?
Absolutely. That's funny because if you order a steak or something and it comes to the table and someone says, who ordered the steak? And they'll say, Glenda. Everyone looks around and thinks, which Glenda? It's serious.
Well, actually, we've got another Glenda on the line right now. Glenda from Perth. How are you going, Glenda?
Hey, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. So, I mean, it's a pretty long drive for you to get to Albany. What's the chances that you'll get along to the Glenda Gaggle?
Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it, as I will be working on the weekend. It's just, unfortunately, I didn't read about it until about a couple of days ago. So that's the first time I ever heard of it. Mm. Otherwise, I would have loved to have gone along and booked some time off from work to drive down to Albany. So it would have been really cool to go to.
Well, mate, there's a few suggestions coming in on the text line for both of you, Glenders, that this could potentially come to Byron Bay next year. Glenda in the grass.
I love Byron Bay. It's one of my favourite places in Australia. I was there earlier this summer, and it's just amazing.
Mm. Glenda, what do you think of it?
Well, I think that's pretty good. Albany is a beautiful place too. So if any young Glendas want to come down to Albany, it is beautiful. Hey, Glenda in Perth, we have to see you down here one day.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
We'll keep in contact. Join the Glenda Gabble. The Glenda Gaggle on Facebook.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you to both of you, Glendas. This has been a delight. And right now, we're pretty excited because we have those Mighty Mighty Ducks in the studio right now. Adam and Ruben, Peking Duck.
Hey. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here.
The pleasure is always ours.
You brought in some delicious treats in the form of like disgusting chewing gum that you got overseas.
We were in Sweden a couple of weeks ago and we really stocked up on the salty licorice chewing gum. And
there's some weird treats over there.
And we also got some schnoos if anybody wants it.
You want any schnoos?
It's tobacco that you sort of just leave in your mouth
for a little bit.
You know what I mean?
It looks like a tin of tuna.
Yeah. It does, but
schnoos.
I've got one that I've been hitting earlier.
Is it as fun to say as it is?
Gross. It's kind of brown and weird looking now, but supposedly one of these is the equivalent to 10 cigarettes in the same amount of time.
Don't do that at home, listeners.
Yeah, that's filthy.
That's some heavy snus.
I don't touch the snus. I'm a clean bird.
I like to keep my lungs clean, so I've gone the Swedish way. I'm on the snus.
And that's on the snus.
I think the last time I saw you guys, you were just about to take off to the Gili Islands.
Yeah, that was true.
Yeah, yeah. Gili Trawangan.
And what a wild venture that was.
That was a boogie time in Paradiso.
We got booked to play a festival out there, and the police shut it down. I think the Navy actually got involved because it became this huge scenario.
It pretty much blew up real quick, and we didn't have to play, so we just ended up.
I woke up to Ruben knocking on my hotel room door. We decided to stay one night and, you know, have a bit of a party.
And they've got this stuff called Joss, if anyone's been to Gili
Trawangan.
Joss? It goes nice with your schnoos? The Joss shots, it's like a packet that you pour into a vodka shot. And
it's not good.
It's like weird little, it looks like whiz fizz, but it just makes you feel...
strange.
Really strange. Anyway, woke up, we're like, let's get out of here.
So Ruben was banging on my door. I freaked out, woke up in a sweat because it was hot. Ruben's shaking. Like, dude, pack your bags, let's go. And there's no cars on this island, so
we jumped on the back of a horse,
straight down to the dock. And Ruben just ran up to this guy. He's like, dude, we got to get on your boat right now.
We got on the first boat to Bali. And we're pretty happy. We saw the island trailing off in the distance.
It was cinematic.
And we were in this weird little cabin down below. And everyone's looking like they were pretty sick. Everyone was drinking the Joss shots.
So it was a dark vibe downstairs. And Ruben goes, dude, let's go upstairs and get some air. So we go upstairs and there's like all this AstroTurf and there's a party going on up top of the boat. You couldn't hear it from downstairs at all. And it pretty much became the best day of our lives. So we decided to go to Ubud and have a great time.
This story just never ends.
This is outrageous.
Just one thing to another. I'm still stuck on the horse riding.
So somehow we ended up here very soon after that with a couple of weeks in Sweden and London in between. And I just landed in Sydney a few hours ago.
So we're feeling great.
Welcome home. I feel exhausted just having listened to that story, let alone living it. But you were in London working on tunes.
Yeah. We were in London and Stockholm. We were nonstop, actually. It was pretty much every day doing a session, and it was very, very productive. So it's exciting, all the stuff that we've been working on.
Okay, lots of bangers.
Yeah, let's talk more about that in a sec. But we want to put on this brand new song, which is called Stranger, featuring Ellie Franz. Tell us about when you hooked up with her.
That's the homie
to make
right
music.
There.
This was actually 3 months ago. We were in Sweden during midsummer. It was like 2 hours of night per day. And
we actually met her at DJ Snake. DJ Snake was throwing this pool party for like some Coachella thing.
Yeah,
that's when we first
right.
probably clicked with her. we were like, we just clicked and we were partying. And then I think Splendor was after that, and we told her to come out if she was down to come out on stage, and she was down for it. And then we just sort of kicked it ever since.
And then we were like, oh, we're coming to Stockholm. She was like, cool.
She's like, all right, I'll show you around Stockholm. And that she did. And we have many a studio session. And this is one of the songs that came out of that, out of one of those sessions. And she's such a legend. Like, she's amazingly talented. And, yeah, big up to Elephant. She's family.
That's Peking Duck right there, the brand new one featuring Elephant. It's called Stranger. And a lot of love coming through for it. Not the best text, but says Elephant, more like L can't get enough of this, which isn't, but the sentiment was lovely.
Yeah.
Ash, you said sick beat, Hos 100 for sure, tuna. I just eargasmed everywhere. I'm just going to go and clean myself up. Peking Duck deliver again.
And Cameron from Shepparton, what's your review of the new Peking Duck track?
Move aside tuna sandwich. I'm thinking Peking Elephant's my new order.
Oh,
yes.
You legend.
That is great. What in particular did you like, Cameron?
Oh, like Peking Duck and Elephant, two of my favourites. So it's really good to see them working together. And it's just an absolute cracker song.
Yes. You're an absolute cracker of a man. Thank you.
Thank you, boys.
So you were saying just before that you'd been in London for a long time and that you were checking out some of the... that you were doing a track a day. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was pretty much just back-to-back sessions. And we sort of got into the routine.
Yeah, we set a little bit of a rule for ourselves. Let's make one song every single day while we're there.
And I think if you sort of set it yourself a sort of a deadline like that, you really can do it. Whereas when we're home here, we could spend many a day on one tune, whereas there we sort of just made sure that we got it all done.
Yeah, and we changed location every day. Like one of the sessions was on Pete Townsend from The Who's boat, which was parked next to the Queen's boat. And
what?
Yeah, crazy.
There's some random spots. It was sick.
Right next to that Queen's boat was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It was like given to her for like some Diamond Jubilee thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Pete Townsend's boat. There was some strange things.
Like what?
Just like weird synths that looked more like an alien than a synthesizer.
And a door that screeched for about 10 seconds when you closed it.
There was ghosts on the boat.
And it had a foghorn. We weren't allowed to ring it because it was docked near residential area.
Yeah, we kept trying.
But we wanted to real bad.
You got Pete Townsend.
Is that your first time recording on a boat?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
We thought it was like a joke. The dude's like, yeah, we're recording on here. And we're like... He's like, nah, it's Pete Townsend's boat. And we're like, well, hang on a minute. And then we got in there and it was this beautiful studio.
Turns out he built it on a boat because the UK were like charging tax for any studio on UK's land in the 70s. And so he built it off land and he got to avoid some tax or something.
But then as soon as he built the studio, then they pulled the...
But by the time the studio was finished, they pulled that little tax.
And then he was like, oh, well.
Because recording offshore.
Now I got a studio on a boat then.
I guess, yeah, The Who probably are really short of some cash too.
That's my Pete Townsend accent.
Oh, studio on a boat then.
Oh, it looks like he's got a studio on a boat then.
Oh, dearie.
Well, if it's some sort of shanty type affair, we'll know which song was from the boat.
Yeah. No, that's actually one of the dopest tunes I think we wrote on the trip.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
It looks like you've been hanging out with a lot of people. Has that been like you've been working with a lot of different vocalists over there?
Heaps of different vocalists.
Yeah, we've been writing with... also, we've never really had a chance to work with other producers so much. Apart from Styles Fuego, absolute legend, Don of a man. But we've never really gotten the studio just with other producers. It's mainly been with vocalists. So this time we got in there with producers some days, vocalists other days. And it sort of gave us a whole new angle on how we'd write our tunes, which was sick because it was a whole new thing.
Yeah, it was intimidating being with other producers.
At first it was sort of like, how are we going to approach it? You know, what's the angle here? But then once we got into the rhythm of it all, by the end of the trip, we were right, like we just sort of... Everything sort of snapped.
So it sounds like you're overflowing with
there's a lot of tunes in the track.
There's lots of collaborations going around. It's exciting. Yeah.
We're excited. We're very excited.
And so it's going to be part of an album?
It's a double album.
100%.
And how long are we going to be waiting?
Man, it's a solid question.
Yeah, we've definitely said too much. how good is it to be in Sydney? The weather's beautiful out here.
You guys look amazing today, by the way.
I'm going to get you on some snoofs and then get the truth out of you.
Have you got any snoofs?
Awesome. Adam and Ruben from Peking Duck, thank you so much for delivering us a brand new tune.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis, and a mate of Veronica's, well, she's actually a mate of mine too, but I wasn't aware of this skill she had. Her party trick is not what she can do, but what she can't do.
Yeah, well, she can't, when her hands are stretched out, like her arms are stretched out and her palms are face down, she can't make her arms go above shoulder height. She has to flip her palms over and then she'll be able to do it. So everybody at this dinner that I was at last night saw that she couldn't do it and they were like, oh, maybe I can't too. And then everyone was like, oh, no, we all can. And we were fascinated by the fact that she couldn't. And April from Newcastle, what's yours?
When I was 21, I had breast cancer and opted to get the chop on the left side and not get a replacement boob. So it's a reverse party trick that I'll get it out and freak people out that it's just missing. And the best time I did it was at the Katy Perry concert in Sydney. I was wearing this cupcake bra. Yeah. And this woman come up to me and was like, oh, my God, can I grab them? So I was like, oh, yeah, just grab a hold of that left side. And she grabbed onto it and the whole costume just caved in on that side. And the look on her face, like, she had just somehow deflated my boob. And I was just like, no, don't sweat it. There's not even one there. And she was like, oh, my God.
Oh, April.
And it was hilarious.
That is an incredible story. That would have freaked her out.
She was freaking out. It was great.
Wow. Well, it's like a magic trick.
Just finding the positive in it all. Gosh.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a good party trick.
We also have a great call on the line. Jacob from Sydney. This isn't necessarily a reverse party trick, more of a party trick, but can you tell us what you've got?
Yeah, I've got three testicles.
For real?
There's a few of us out there, actually. I guess in the reverse side of things, when it gets back to the office that you've got three balls and your boss comes over and goes, you have to present them, otherwise you're fired. That's a little bit of an awkward situation.
That feels illegal, I reckon.
Well, when you're with a group of mates at work, it's not too bad.
What are the upsides?
I will never get erectile dysfunction, apparently, is what the doctor told me.
Oh, you're like a Superman down there.
Would like to hope so. I guess we do say that to the girls, but, I don't think there's too much of a difference.
So when you say we, have you touched base with other people who have this?
I actually have. Yeah, the doctor in Sydney, there's actually two of us in Sydney, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, because just before when I read your story, I went, oh, that doesn't sound right, Googled it, went, oh, no, story checks out, which is just incredible.
So if you guys catch up, you and the other guy who has three testicles, what do y'all talk about over coffee?
Oh, mate, like, is it hanging to the left or the right at the moment, I guess? No? No, really, not too much. It's just like, is it uncomfortable? Are you going to get rid of it? Do you want to keep it as well? You talk about, I don't know, donating it. If there is quite a few guys out there with testicular cancer, so I'd put my hand up if anyone ever needs it with the same blood type.
They can take mine. My God. Jacob, that's an incredible thing to do. What an amazing story.
Have you ever been called upon to do a surprise speech? Get in touch 0439 757 555, because on Friday night, right? So I got a bit excited.
You and I were together and then we split and I'm like, oh, she's too jazzed.
I was pretty pumped on Friday night and I went out for dinner with my friend. And my birthday was a couple of weeks ago, so I didn't think that this was a birthday dinner that I was doing with her and a few of my other friends. But it got to the point of the night where dessert was coming out and she'd prearranged for it to come out and the waiter would sing happy birthday. And then the restaurant sang happy birthday to me, and I was not expecting that because it was a while ago, and I was like, oh, what, me? Oh. So the whole restaurant got involved in the birthday celebration.
That's great.
I think it was quite late on Friday night, sure. So everyone was a bit like, yeah, what's happening? Let's get involved. And people were yelling out, speech, speech. And I was like, oh, not me, I'm too shy. and then I thought, ah, hell, I'm going to do a speech. So there was
just to your table or to the entire restaurant?
To the entire restaurant.
Oh, good, good.
So there was like a little raised bit. We were sort of near the window where the shop front or whatever is. So I got up onto the raised area. I still feel very embarrassed about this. The next morning I woke up and I was mortified that it happened. But I did an entire speech.
about
thanking
you?
Everybody in the restaurant and how I knew them. Like I made up backstories. I pointed to people and said, Cindy, thanks for coming. I know the last time I saw you was when we made out in the spa.
To a stranger. Great.
And people were just nodding along. It was improv. Everyone was like yes-anding each other. I pretended that I went out with another guy. In fact, it was a bit horny.
The whole thing was...
They were all doing who I'd been with and stuff.
Anyone at this party I haven't slept with? All right.
And in the end, it actually brought people together. The whole restaurant was friends. We left soon after, and I didn't think much of it that night, but I woke up the next day and was like, ugh, what have I done?
Well done for getting up and doing it, though.
As far as I know, no one recorded it, which is good news.
Oh, that is bad friends, though. That deserves to be recorded. I would never do that, and to be perfectly honest, I'm so glad I wasn't there. That would have made me so uncomfortable.
Jessica from Wollongong, you gave a speech at a pretty strange occasion.
I'm a veterinary nurse, and a patient asked me to come speak at her dog's funeral on the day of the funeral. It was at a funeral home and everything.
Oh, well, but you didn't know the dog. You couldn't talk about the great things about the dog, could you?
No, well, he'd been my patient for a little bit, but I don't know how well you can know a dog personally.
Did you do it?
A beautiful dog. Yeah, I did.
What did you say?
Oh, just that he was a beautiful dog and that he died peacefully and didn't suffer.
What was the rest of the dog funeral like? I'm sorry if this is morbid. I've just never been to a dog funeral.
Really? I used to have dog funerals.
Well, I could only go... I had to work that day, so I could only go to the burial. But at the burial, it was like a full-on funeral, like a human funeral. I think she knew the funeral home person.
Oh. How do they dig the hole? There's a bunch of other dogs getting around, digging out the little hole.
They would get them to do that.
Did everyone wear black?
Yep. It was very, very official. Wow. He had a surprising amount of attendance.
Wow.
Who wins that dog?
Well done to you. That
very
was
very personable, Golden Retriever.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis.
And it's Reboot Your Life across the ABC this week. We're looking at technology. Yesterday, you might have met two people who put microchips in their hands and use them to open doors and cars and all sorts of things. And we thought, wow, the future's amazing. Technology is incredible and it can do no wrong. But Simone Yetch disagrees. She is the queen of shitty robots. And you might have seen them around on YouTube. They are very, very terrible, but also very delightful. She joins you right now on Skype. Hey, Simone Yetch, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
How are you? Yeah, great. Have you been roboting this morning?
I have actually. I've been building. So it's weird because building shitty robots used to be my hobby, and then it became my job. And I've been struggling to find a new hobby. So I've actually all morning been building all these furniture. So I've been building a little bit on a robot that I'm going to publish in a month, but then I've just been building a coffee table.
That sounds disturbingly functional.
And less fun.
I know. It's this fun thing also where it's when I publish things that aren't shitty, people actually get legitimately upset and they're like, what? This isn't useless at all. What's wrong with you?
So does it take you about a month to make a shitty robot?
I mean, it takes a month with a sprinkle of procrastination and other things. It definitely doesn't take a month of hard work. It depends on the complexity of the project, but I say that they take about a week to build.
So you've made, if people haven't seen the videos, which, you know, you've had millions and millions of views on YouTube, but you made a wake-up machine, you had an alarm clock that sort of, which is slaps people while it's waking them up, you had a hair-washing robot, also involved quite a bit of slapping, the chopping machine, which really just made probably the worst chopped vegetables I've ever seen in my life. What's the favorite robot that you've made?
Depends on my mood. But I really I did a popcorn helmet together with Adam Savage. So, you know, beer helmets, but instead it was a popcorn helmet. So it dispenses popcorn and feeds you popcorn. And I think that just I feel like $1 million whenever I wear that helmet. It just makes me instantly happy because it looks so ridiculous.
And what happens when you're done with it? Do you get to then take it off set, get it home, chuck on a film, get the popcorn hat popping?
Yeah, you know, it's very messy. I must admit, I hardly ever use any of the machines that I build. But I did bike through San Francisco wearing the popcorn helmet the other day. and I got some very interesting catcalling.
Yeah, because you had to move to San Francisco to work with Adam Savage, who you were mentioning before, who used to host Mythbusters. When was it that he found you?
So we actually started talking in December last year, and he had seen The Wake Up Machine, and I remember he retweeted it, and I was like, yep, this is life peaking. Like, this is as good as it's going to get. It's only downhill from here. But yeah, then they gave me an offer to come and work for one of their YouTube channel, Tested. So now I build stuff with them part-time.
What's the kind of process in terms of coming up with those ideas? Like, do you just sit down together and go, what's the dumbest thing we can think of today? Or is it like, we want you to come up with something involving food?
I think to me, the ideas. Like, I get ideas when I'm bored. So it's actually become a bit of a method for myself where I go out of town or just somewhere where I can't be on the internet, and I sit down, and then my brain just goes off on tangents. But most of the projects that I do evolve around some sort of everyday problem that I don't have the energy to deal with, like brushing your teeth. Like, it's boring. I don't want to do that. And then I'm thinking about, like, is there a way I can have a machine do that for me? And then I realize that the over-the-top, ridiculous solution is way more fun. So that's what I build.
So now you're working with a hotshot like Adam Savage on Tested. Are you still making all the robots yourself, or are you outsourcing some stuff?
No, I wouldn't outsource it. That would feel bad. It's like the code of honor that you build things yourself, I think. But I've hired like a builder, and it's this guy named Eric, and he's helping me rebuild some of my previous projects. So he actually just had to go at the popcorn helmet. That was why I biked through San Francisco wearing it. So he just like updated it and built more sturdy versions of it.
Yeah, we're talking to Simone Yetch right now, the queen of shitty robots.
You might have seen on YouTube, or you might have seen like a GIF floating around of a Swedish woman with an American accent that's getting her head slapped around by a rubber hand. That is Simone, who joins us now. Simone, they often look like they could be quite dangerous. Have you ever been injured by one of your robots?
I mean, kind of, but kind of not. I mean, a lot of them are actually pretty dangerous. I mean, I had a drone. I worked together with my friend Sammy Kamkar, and we put a pair of automated scissors on a drone and had it try to cut hair.
Oh, that was scary.
And miraculously, none of us got injured from that. But I did, when I filmed The Wake Up Machine, my hair got stuck in the motor, which is like a really good lesson to learn. Like, don't put your hair close to rotating shafts. I learned that the hard way. You can trust me on that one. It's a really stupid idea.
Wow. And so how did you, like, what was the background? What were you, because you did a physics degree, right?
So, nah-ish. Like, I didn't actually get to the degree. I got through a year, and then I felt, I mean, I started for all the wrong reasons. It was the kind of like, I want to prove to myself that I'm smart. And then after the first year, and I was like, yeah, I could actually do this, that kind of, I kind of lost the oomph and the ambition to go through with it. So I started studying physics, but then I just like, I don't know, I had a lot of ideas that I wanted to prototype, and I was always looking for somebody who could do it for me until I realized, like, hey, dumbass, just teach yourself how to do it instead of like asking people to do it for you. So I just Googled my way forth.
Wow. So you literally just Googled, like, how to learn to make robots.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, It was very confusing. It was pretty tough. But it's, I mean, at least I learned how to build shitty robots. So it's something.
Do you ever feel compelled? Do you think, like, you know what? I've made enough robots that fail. My next robot's going to be a winner.
You know what? I mean, in some way, I mean, I do build like useful things on my free time, like ridiculous things as my job. But I think there's just something really funny with things failing. And I think especially robots, because they're just like this wonder of technology and human engineering. And then they fail doing something that like you do every day, as in like making a sandwich or whatever. And there's just something that's really fun in that.
Yeah, they sort of seem really endearing, like they've got personalities as like these hopeless dopes. Do you still see them like that when you've built them from scratch?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I kind of try to, I mean, you'd like add a little bit of personality to them in some way. Like, I made a popcorn server, and it was just like a this like structure on top of a Roomba, and it looks like it looks so jaded, like it just can't be bothered. It's just really annoyed that it was repurposed to serve popcorn, and all it just is just like it just like sprays popcorn on the floor and like bumps into people and doesn't excuse itself. Like
there is something quite melancholy about the Roomba.
Yeah, it's a sad little creature.
Just goes around, bumps into things, yeah. Bumps off in another
and it's
direction.
Just like, oh, just another day.
It's the Eeyore of robots.
Life sucks.
What are you cooking up at the moment? What's the next shitty robot going to be?
So, you know what? I'm like very mysterious around that. And I can't, it's kind of secret. Main reason it's secret is because I don't really know myself. I mean, I'm building a ton of projects all the time, and I never know which ones I actually go through with and which ones I publish first. So I'm not sure, but I have some fun stuff on the way, and that's going to be a little bit different from what I've built so far.
Do you notice many copycat YouTubers, people who have started doing what you're doing now that you've become really successful?
No, not as much. I mean, and it's really... I mean, I'm a part of the maker community, and when I see people doing similar projects or projects inspired by what I do, that's just like, I mean, that just kind of makes me happy because it means that people actually got into creating something and building something.
Yeah, that's a great answer, actually. Well done to you for saying
obviously,
that.
Obviously, Veronica would have been bitter and twisted and slowly tried to ruin their lives, so good for you.
Yeah, so diplomatic, I know.
Well, Simone Yetch, thank you so much for chatting to us. And yeah, if you haven't seen it before, you can check her out, The Queen of Shitty Robots on YouTube. That's The Preachers. Is This How You Feel? And before that, Catfish and the Bottlemen, Postpone. And right now, Is This How I Feel would be the answer to the question, gross.
Terrified.
Yes, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Postpone? Yes, sure. Love to postpone this quiz.
I feel a little weird because you've actually physically changed quite a bit. Lewis is just next to a shot glass of custard. If you're playing Triple J Bingo for the chance for a huge summer festival pass, why don't you want the nation to win these prizes, Lewis?
I know that you think this is funny, but I hate custard. I really did not like it. It doesn't feel right in my throat. It doesn't feel good in my mouth, and I don't want it in my stomach.
This is high stakes. Your life is on the line. No, you're not allergic to it or anything. You're just a little princess, that's all.
All right.
So we're doing a quiz. We've got your calls, thank you, and Nikki from Brisbane, you've been selected to be the person who will be up against Lewis in this quiz. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, guys.
How's your day been?
Oh, it's been pretty good. It's about to get better, I think.
Oh, cocky. So you feel...
I'm pretty confident that I can cross this off my bingo in front of me right now.
Can I ask honestly, Nikki, have you been in conversation with Veronica at any point previously? Is this a setup or
no,
something?
No, never in my life.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nikki, what do you do for a job?
I work at a paper company.
Oh, like in the office?
Yeah, like Mifflin.
That's pretty funny. Okay, well, this is a general knowledge quiz. There's three questions. Mm-hmm. If Lewis gets the majority wrong, he has to shot the custard. If you get the majority right, Nikki, no, the other way. If whatever, you know what I mean. All right, first question. All right, what is the best type of paper for office use?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, look, I'm going to go with an uncoated 120 DSM around there somewhere.
Whoops. Okay, all right, fine.
No,
okay.
Come on, what do you think it is?
I see what's... The best type of paper for... I don't even remember the question,
office
I'm so
use,
angry.
For office use.
I don't know, A4.
Well, I think I'm going to give that to Nikki in this case. Well done, Nikki. You've got the first one right.
Okay.
No, thanks.
All right, just relax, Lewis. Cool,
is
you
he
jets.
Leaving?
No, he's there. He's
I'm
all right.
I'm still here, Nikki, for now.
Second question.
I'm bringing this bed, that stupid bed down. I'm not having any fun.
Second question, and this is a general knowledge quiz. Mm-hmm. How many pieces of paper in a standard ream?
Just go on. I'll let you have a stab at this one.
I don't
right,
even
no, no,
know
no.
what
here,
a ream is.
Okay, I'll say...
I've never heard ream used in that context.
A, 500. B, 700. C, 1,000.
Is it 700?
Try again.
Is it 500?
Yes, it is.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, Lewis, we're done. Okay, yeah. It's down to the very final one.
Okay.
All right, Nikki and Lewis. Loser has to shot the custard. All right, the third question. How many operating paper mills are there in Australia?
Do you want to have a guess, a wild guess first?
All right. How many paper mills are there in Australia? Come on, Lewis. You can do this.
Come on, you know this. You would have just read it on the internet or something.
I'm going to go with 72.
And Nikki, what's your answer?
I'm going to go with about 8.
Oh, that is absolutely correct. Nikki just the winner. Lewis is a loser. Skull, 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 skull. Do it, Lewis, right now. He's picking up the shot glass.
Nikki.
It is wobbling in his hand.
You've got
disgusting.
If I ever meet you one day, Nikki, it's not going to be a pleasant conversation.
Do it, Lewis. Oh. He's holding it up to his mouth and he is already gagging. It's so close to his mouth.
No.
Come on, mate, just over quickly and you'll be done. Oh, cross that off your bloody bingo list. It is absolutely accomplished. And he's going to vomit. He's shaking.
Oh, I'm going to vomit.
Lots of people around the country playing bingo, and I'm sure you, sitting in your car in your workplace, you're the best. You're going to win it. And yesterday we were a step closer because Lewis had to eat custard. So basically Lewis went up against Nikki from Brisbane in a quiz about...
A rigged quiz?
It was a... Yes, it was a rigged quiz.
It was a rigged
quiz. I wanted Nikki to make you eat custard.
Yeah, so I ended up hunched over a bin vomiting. So I hope you had fun, Nikki and Veronica. It was a quiz with real repercussions. And then immediately afterwards, one of the questions was about the standard weight of paper, which obviously I didn't know. And you said, is it 120 GSM? Nikki said, is it 120 GSM? You said yes. But it turned out that is not correct. And a lot of paper experts got in touch to say not only was the quiz rigged, it was wrong to begin with. And I felt that very exciting. Oh, the sweet, sweet victory of Lewis right now. Apparently, Veronica, 180, 220 GSM, far too thick to be standard office paper. There are dozens. Anything more than 80 GSM, you're a madman. You were wrong. Your quiz was flawed. The whole thing was a joke. And I'm afraid there will be repercussions.
Okay, Seinfeld.
Dan from the Gold Coast, you were one of the many paper experts who got in touch to say 120 GSM was madness. Are you there, Dan?
I am, buddy.
Yes. Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much for being a fact checker on the ridiculous quiz that it was yesterday.
Mate, I hope your custard tasted great.
It was awful. What's your paper knowledge?
My first full-time job was actually in a paper distribution company. Mm-hmm. Following that, I was a logistics distribution manager for a transport company. So we actually transported paper. And now I'm a construction supervisor. So basically I'm an administrator. And it's definitely 80 GSM or grams per square metre is your standard office.
It was a bloody joke, wasn't it, Dan? So,
it was a joke.
Yeah. But this is what's happened. Like, I said there'd be repercussions, but obviously I could make Veronica do something stupid, but that would be the kind of thing she would do, and I'm a classy guy. As Michelle Obama likes to say, when they go low, you go high. I'm taking the high road. I wanted a paper rematch, and that's why we've got Nikki back. Nikki, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
You cheating, you scoundrel.
I'm sorry, Lewis. I'm sorry.
I hope you are, Nikki. But this is what I'm proposing, okay? I've been doing a lot of research on paper today, and I want to take the two of you on. Dan, Nikki, Lewis, a three-way quiz on paper. If either of you two win, a 9-cent coin. If I win, no coins for the rest of the week. You're with Veronica and Lewis, and I'm feeling good.
Oh.
It's time for me to take back this quiz about paper. As Alistair texted in, I've learned so much about paper in the last 24 hours, I could write a paper on paper. Yeah, sure. A quiz on paper doesn't necessarily sound that exciting, but it's not about that. It's about fairness. It's about payback. It's about justice.
Yeah, so yesterday Lewis lost a quiz about paper. It just so happened that Nikki, who joins us now from Brisbane, knows all about paper. She was up against Lewis. It was rigged so that she would win. Lewis would have to have custard. And in fact, a lot of people saying, does the replay count of drinking the custard or eating it? Yes, it absolutely does. Mm. It just happened before.
Yeah, I got to replay it in my mind as I vomited it back up into the bin. moments later.
So a rematch is happening right now. Lewis wants retribution. I'm the quiz master.
I've been doing a lot of studying about paper. And we have Dan, who was one of my saviours. He helped me out with the spurious lies that were being spread about the standard thickness of paper. How are you feeling, Dan?
I'm feeling good, mate. I'm happy to help you out.
Great. Okay. And Nikki from Brisbane, the traitor, the backstabber, Judas. Nikki, how are you feeling?
Look, I'm not as confident as I was yesterday.
No, well, that's because you knew the answers yesterday. Today, a brand new day. I have studied about paper. It's go time.
So if you guys win, which I'm desperately hoping you do, you get a 9-cent coin. So buzz in with your name. The questions start now. Name a brand of paper.
Dan.
Dan, go for it.
Reflex.
Oh, Reflex. Absolutely.
That's pretty good, actually. Okay, I've got... Obviously, I didn't study that much. Okay.
Dan is sitting at one so far. Question number two. There are 8 paper mills in Australia. Can you name the location of any?
Lewis.
Oh.
I mean, when we say location, how specific are we talking?
We're talking the town.
Oh. Melbourne. No, what? Come on.
I mean...
There is one.
Yeah, there kind of is one.
Yes! Come on! Research pays off. Where are you now, Nikki? Okay. Nowhere.
Yeah, there is one in Reservoir in Victoria. Mm-hmm. Damn it. I was hoping... Yeah, okay. Okay, Lewis is one, Dan is one. Third question. Come on, Dan. If you get two, this is yours. The word paper is derived from a Latin word. What is it?
Dan. Papyrus.
Oh, of course it was papyrus.
Well, all that work, Dan, as a former distribution manager of paper has certainly paid off. Nikki, unfortunately, no good for you. But you've taken yourself home a 9-cent coin, Dan. Well done.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
I'm glad I lost to you, Dan. Because, you know what, you helped me out in my time of need and I'm happy to repay you with 9 cents.
Thanks very much, mate. You could use your 9 cents to buy custard.
That's a really good call. You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis.
And over the last few days, you may have been experiencing what is promised as some of the deepest house in the Seven Kingdoms because Rave of Thrones is back in the country. And it is all headed, of course, by Christian Nairn, who you might know as Hodor from Game of Thrones. Christian, welcome back to Australia.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back in your wonderful country.
What's the style? Like, what kind of music are you dropping mostly? Or is it case-by-case basis?
No, it's not case-by-case. I mean, I've always stuck by my guns. I've always played house music. It's, I don't want to say traditional, but it's, I mean, I came up with piano house and sort of British Chicago sort of sound, and that's very much me. And although I do adapt to more current trends, it's always based around that sort of sound, very bass driven, bit of vocals. There'll probably be a piano somewhere.
So as well as tunes like that, the sort of vibe at Rave of Thrones is that everyone who goes is dressed up as like whatever you want.
Most people do, especially in Australia. I mean,
oh, yeah?
This is the only country in the world we can get away with saying fancy dress compulsory.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you did that in Belfast, you'd be like, yeah, I'll tell you what, we just won't come. We can't be bothered.
But there's also the massive throne that's up on the stage.
Yeah, and we have props.
Actors that come in and out. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we have all sorts of people. We have people dressed as White Walkers. We have people with live fire breathing. It varies from venue to venue. There's really always a throne, as far as I can tell. And we have, like, people with fire-breathing dragons on their shoulders. That sort of thing is terrifying.
Oh.
Because you've got lots of hairspray in your hair.
How does that work? What's the, like, they've made sort of models?
Yeah, yeah. People are really quite a lot of time in their hands.
That's extraordinary.
But, I'm always impressed.
So you do have actors on stage, though, as White Walkers?
Well, it depends. Every venue's different.
Every venue. Yeah. Okay, but are they usually locals, or do you travel with them?
Oh, well, I don't have a merry band of White Walkers.
I wish I'd known. I would have definitely auditioned.
You got the hair.
I'm still stuck on this dragon. I can't believe that exists. What do you reckon is the best thing that you've seen, the best outfit you've seen from someone who turned up?
That has to be fairly close. I mean, to have actual fire is quite impressive. There was a drag Hodor once that really impressed me. A very tall lady dressed as me in drag. And it was fantastic. That really impressed me.
on people sending you things, I've often wondered, do people, like, when you're doing DJ sets around, go like, hey, I've done a remix of the Game of Thrones theme. Yes. Can you play it? That happens a lot?
Not a lot. It has happened.
Any of them any good?
No.
Right.
No. I mean, if Armin van Buuren can't do a good one, the chances are that Joe Bloggs from Alice Springs is not going to do a good one either. I have done a horrible bootleg of one. I gave up. There's no way to make that song sound good in a 4/4 dance beat. It's just not going to work. Oh yeah, oh
yeah. Sex tip of the week.
Sex tip of the week.
Now it's time for another sex tip of the week. Brought to you by
YouTube celebrity Simone Yacht.
Don't put your hair close to rotating shafts. You can trust me on that one. It's a really stupid idea.
Sex tip of the week.
Triple J.
And all this week on the ABC, you've been hearing about Reboot Your Life, which is a thing where we're finding ways to make your life better. And this week, you've been hearing about technology. And there's a bunch of memes that pretty much everyone's come across in their life. One of them is the Goosebumps girl.
That's right. She's the one with pigtails and braces. She's very excitedly holding a bunch of Goosebumps books, like we all did, and someone has written, Emma Gerd, Goosebumps, on the photo. And then that's where the whole Emma Gerd thing came from. In Australia, you'd be very familiar with Flurm or Wurzelnert. The entire thing has just spiraled way out of control. It blew up about 4 years ago, and right now, you're hearing from the lady in the picture, Maggie Goldenberger. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
So tell us about yourself now, Maggie. You're, what, 27 years old?
29. I just turned 29.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday.
Ooh, it hurts.
Tell us about that photo. Where was it taken and how did it end up getting public?
It was taken in my friend's house. We used to always just dress up and take Polaroid photos. And she had it up on her fridge as adults and on MySpace. And we didn't realize at the time that the photo bucket thing you used to download photos was public and anyone could look at all your photos, and that's what happened. Someone just saw it and submitted it to a comedy website, and then, yeah, that was it.
Wow. So were you ever a big fan of Goosebumps?
I read some, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a diehard. Yeah.
And when did you first become aware that it had kind of blown up?
I think it took like almost a year before I realized how widespread it was. But I was traveling in India at the time, and when I first found out about it, and I had hardly any internet access, like once a week for just a little bit at a time. One of my friends said, "Why is this guy, like this one of our like mutual friends, spreading this photo of you?" Because he had been sharing it on Facebook, and I was like, "I don't know what's going on." And then that's when I kind of realized. My mom started like, "She's like, Maggie, everyone's sharing your photo with some German words on it. I don't know what's going on." So that's when I realized.
German words. So did your mum think it was funny, or did she think it was offensive?
Oh, she loves it so much. She loves it. She tells everyone, and she has a photo up in her office, or at least she did like 6 months ago. She loves it. It's a favorite thing to tell everyone.
Right now you're hearing from Maggie Goldenberger, who you might know as the Goosebumps, oh my God, girl. The meme blew up like 4 years ago, but the photo actually was taken like 11 or 12 years ago. Maggie, do you still get recognized on the street?
I have never gotten recognized on the street.
Ah.
I think the only time is when, like, because I live in Phoenix, and this article was released that said I live in Phoenix, and it said I was gay as well. So it's like gay bars in Phoenix, I'll get recognized. That's the only place.
Wow. Like, is that good or bad?
I don't know. Is that good or bad? I have no idea. But like through my normal life, I've never, you know, no one's ever come up to me and asked me or, you know.
It's an interesting thing because it feels like if you wanted to, you really could have like cashed in on the whole thing, started a YouTube channel, you know. Was there ever any like cash involved in being a big time, one of the OG internet memes?
Not really. No, there's been like a little things here and there, but I just kind of I've really stayed out of the whole thing, and I just kind of expect it to go away, and then it just keeps going on and on.
Mm.
Yeah, no big cash payout.
Veronica, Lewis, Triple J.